Welcome to another Talking Auckland podcast. If you're new to these, my name is Ben, the owner and main writer of the Talking Auckland blog, that provides some of the leading independent coverage on Auckland issues. In this podcast, we're going to be looking at what's going to be arguably the next 5 months of rather contentious and sore debate. That is the 10-year budget, 2015 to 2025, otherwise officially known as the long-term plan. Now, in the question about the light rail system that was proposed as part of the Auckland Transport Regional Land Transport Program, the RLTP, I will cover that in another podcast, as there's some very key points that I need to that we need to make out to you, and that Transport Blog will be making out in their own blog about it, because there's more to the light rail situation than what's been let on publicly and in the documents. So I'll cover that in a separate podcast. But in this one, I'm going to walk you through, or take a brief look at the orange book, the household summary that you should all have by now. If not, it's available at shapeauckland.co.nz. I'm also going to briefly look through the blue-green-blue-grey main consultation document, which is some 63 pages long in paper form. Now, you wouldn't have got that. We at the media briefing on Friday received the paper copy, but if you're looking for it for yourself, it is available on shapeauckland.co.nz. What I won't go through that is also there is the main long-term plan itself, all up to some probably 1,000 pages worth, with all the line-by-line intricacy details that it includes for some of you, and as was asked on Friday, things like lines of depreciation, the accountancy discount rates, and all the other accountancy stuff for some of you out there. But in this, we're going to have a walk through the orange summary book and a very brief look at the blue-green, blue-grey 10-year budget book. Now, these were designed, as the Mayor said, to meet the requirements of the amendments to the Local Government Act to turn a 1,000-page budget document into an easy-read summary and main consultation document for the public to read. Again, those who want the main details can go to shapeauckland.co.nz and follow the links to get the main document itself with all those line-by-line details. And so, in the orange page book, which is, not including the feedback, it is, I think it's about 13, 14, 15, okay, including the feedback forms, about 17 pages long, and it quite clearly, in summary form, spells out what the council was looking at for the next 10 years, and where our finances are going to be projected over that period. Now, the projected turns into actual when the annual plan, the annual budget, is discussed and set into motion every year after a long-term plan has been set. So in this very nice document, it looks, in fact in both documents, it spells out where we're looking, how much council is borrowing, or wanting to borrow, what the income it has, what projects are going to make it, what projects didn't make it, what alternative funding mechanisms there are, where the council would like to go to fill in the Auckland plan vision of the world's most livable city, as well as how to have your say, because it's changed from the traditional submission formula of the unitary plan. Touching on, if we go straight to the back, you can see your have your say section, where you can do your traditional written feedback. You can do it in person at one of the have your say events, which is at shapeauckland.co.nz, where you can register for an event in your local board area. I've registered myself for the Papakura local board, one because it's the local board I live in, but I've also registered myself for the Otara Papatoa one because of the keen interest in and some of the projects I'm trying to put through at the moment in the Manukau City Centre area, such as upgraded interchanges, having the city centre itself upgrade renewed over time as it's a metropolitan centre currently in the unitary plan, as well as things like pocket parks. The other forms of social media which will be taken as feedback is on Twitter, using AKL Council's Twitter handle with the hashtag LTP2015 on their Facebook page, or commenting on any blog at the shapeauckland.co.nz/long-term plan sites. Or, of course, you can put in the feedback form that's attached to the summary document or the main consultation document itself if you've downloaded it. So, actually, just changing the podcast around a bit, I'm actually not going to walk you through the summary document. It's pretty straightforward, and you can lead into, you can read it itself. It's pretty easy to understand, although I will pick up on two key points. That's the feedback, feedback itself, as well as the options for Auckland's transport future, where there's technically four options, not three, as it's pointed, which might be commonly pointed out. Also of note, in your summary document, you should have your local board's information insert. If not, shapeauckland.co.nz, and it should link you eventually through to your local board and what they had in mind. For Papakura, they were looking at Papakura Metropolitan Centre Master Plan, upgrades to the Drury, the main sports centre, some more cycleways, some community gardens, some more arts programs, as well as trying to get onto the books, the new Takanini Library up at Takanini Village, some youth development method initiatives, and of course trying to get the new rail station, which Auckland Transport has made a decision on. I think it's going to be Toronui, but they haven't made it public yet, but I have an Official Information Act request in to try and speed it up. And a couple of other things like the much-needed Walters Road a grade separation crossing, which for those who use it like me, it's a pain in the ass in the peak when you've got trains going through about every 7 minutes and you're trying to get through yourself. Now I'm going to come to the two options, and then I'll pass final comment on the summary document itself before I close the podcast off. Now, when you go to your feedback and pick it up on page 10 of the summary document, or helps when it opens straight away to you, page 32 of the blue-gray consultation document, you'll see that we have four options on funding Auckland's transport into the future. Now, as this debate goes on, I will cover each section of the LTP more in detail. This is just a quick summary and walkthrough. Now, just having a quick look, your four options are, if we were to follow the feedback form, question 2A, referencing those earlier pages I mentioned, page 10 of the summary document or page 32 of the main consultation document. Do you support, and this has also been done through that 5,000 person survey, do you support the basic transport network, or you think Auckland should invest more to get the Auckland Plan transport network that would address our transport problems? Now, both documents list what is up for stake in each. If we go for the BTM, now using South Auckland as the example, the Manukau and Otahuhu interchanges get stalled from 2016 to 2021, which means the new South Auckland bus network, which starts in 2016, does not reach maximum potential. Whereas if you go for the APTN, which has that $300 million a year funding gap, the interchanges can be completed by 2016, and you have the new South Auckland bus network reaching its absolute full maximum potential 5 years than what the basic transport would have. Also, other things that get stalled are asset renewals like roads, water, stormwater, freshwater and sewage is self-funded by Watercare. No other cycling projects, parks. Remember, AT then takes a 38% budget cut if we go for the basic transport network, while parks and rec at this point in time also take that cut unless there's new targeted rates or other budget reallocations to come through. And I have to stress that transport and parks and recreation, so that's your green spaces, are the most crucial elements of our infrastructure while Auckland continues to boom ahead. You only have to look at Northwest Auckland and South Auckland to see the effects of the current boom of houses going up in leaps and bounds. So we need our transport and parks and recs to start to scratch the basic transport network, although I've brought parks into it. Do not allow this to happen. So your Next two options are option one is the $2 motorway toll, and it has it laid out there, the key points to consider. Or, as I've mentioned out before, and they've done some rounding, your 1% rates rise year on year for the next 9 years, on top of any other rates rises. So at the moment, that will be on top of the average rise of 5.4 for residential, or slightly less for businesses, plus the 1.2 cents extra fuel tax year on year for the next 9 years, on top of anything else that might come through the price of petrol. The other option, which is there and leaves you to comment, and I will delve into this when I get to the transport options in another podcast, is other. And you can write to your heart's content what that other may be, whether you want to play around with the transport list and shift the priorities of certain projects up or down, which means that will also feed into the RLTP, Auckland Transport's document as well, because they're running consultation in tandem with the budget document. Or you might have an alternate funding method that council has not considered and put in the document, like I have, by using the New Development Agency as a landlord and developer, and using leasehold and ground rent money to fund transport projects like they do overseas, such as in Asia and more so in the United States. And they're just beginning to do in Sydney. So you've got that other option there. So you have the four options. Again, the basic transport network, which means incoming cuts. The Auckland Planned Transport Network, so the full transport package, which then you have the two sub-options of tolls or rates and fuel taxes, or other, to which you can move the priorities list, the transport ranking list around, and or give your own alternative to funding sources. And so as I close out this very brief summary look, and on Wednesday I will cover, I think the first part of the document delves into investing in Auckland. So I'm going to follow the summary book and then use the consultation document to flesh it out more, if hopefully it is in order. If not, I'll give the page numbers, but I will be following the summary document. So on Wednesday, I will start with investing in Auckland, and then as we move through to Thursday, I will then go on to, I think part two is, it's always fun doing this on the fly, fixing transport with Friday, covering rates, we all love rates, with part four, the following week, housing development, and then part five, I might have a quick look at some of the local board priorities, and then any other parts that might be necessary after that I could do on your request. But my closing comments are this. I've already been to a few social events, being it's Auckland anniversary weekend, so Auckland or anyone above Taupo is having a nice big fat holiday at the moment. Yeah, sorry Wellington and the mainland. They've seen the document, and all these people are very switched on about Auckland matters and council matters, and they keep abreast, although they mightn't mention it on Twitter, Facebook, or blogs. And they're very astute to what goes around them. So to hit them on collective intelligence would be the most foolhardy and stupid exercise I can think of. But the general comments from them, and this is not of my own, so as I'm not leading people through my commentary, was that the summary document, and for those, some had already read the consultation document, is that it is very easy, very straightforward to read compared to traditionally. And that is a big up, and it's able to stimulate debates over that barbecue, or indeed the water cooler at work, rather easily. So kudos to council. The big drawback is how the narrative has been framed. Now these are their thoughts and not mine, so I am not leading people subjectively. Their thoughts were that the narrative has been framed in such a way that it looks at the bright side of Auckland, but it's not necessarily giving the key details into some of the more interesting matters, shall we say, such as finances and debt levels, and the cuts that we are facing. It doesn't give the gravity of the situation. Thus, it pigeonholes you. And I've mentioned this before last year, and our two transport interchanges, Dantin and Suffolk, have been used as political footballs for the tolling rates and taxes situation. It pigeonholes the debate into key areas where the council can control through its PR messaging. Thus, long story short, the discussion around the barbecue is very aware that the council is trying to frame the narrative in such a way of a rosy, glowy feature and pigeonholing the debate into a very small area while not exploring the full contexts or making some of the more harder decisions necessary upon itself to lessen the, well, in the end, as they said, the rates burden upon their households. So I will leave you with those thoughts from them and see what you think about it. Is the council, through their PR machine, framing the narrative to look at the rosy sides but not look at the hard and dark side that we should be looking at as well as a balance? And are they pigeonholing the debate into very narrow, defined areas rather than encouraging full, utter, maximum dialogue to try and actually get Auckland to go forward without breaking the bank, or in my case, without needing those two Auckland Plan transport network options, which will, and especially as we come into a deflationary environment, be quite, in my opinion, quite burdensome to ratepayers and renters. I'll leave that with you. The next podcast for the LTP will be on investing in Auckland, and that will be up on Wednesday. As for the light rail, which got announced on Friday and seemed to caught the mayor short, that will be up in another podcast on the blog, and I will run that situation with that through you. Of course, comments, questions, constructive criticisms, and no flaming or trolling can be left in the comments section of the blog, on my Twitter account or Facebook account, which are linked up on the blog itself. Love to hear your feedback and what you think of the entire situation.